Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Today, Christians know this as the beginning of the Hail Mary prayer. It's inspired, of course, by the moment in today's gospel reading, when Gabriel tells Mary she's going to be pregnant. But there's a big difference between how those words are used today and how Gabriel used them. Today, they're the start of a prayer, right? Most often used by Roman Catholics. And even though Lutherans don't really say the Hail Mary, we still respect Mary. Martin Luther even held her in high esteem. And when we think of Mary, I bet we imagine a beautiful young woman dressed in blue. She's smiling down upon her newborn baby. Or maybe she's sitting down next to Joseph for the most famous family Christmas card photo ever. Or if you back up a little bit, maybe she's just enjoying a pleasant donkey ride as they make their way to Bethlehem. So often, our images of Mary are shaped by a romanticized version of the Christmas story. It's as if the stable is this perfectly clean, sanitized for your protection birthing room. Or when Jesus is born, there's no crying he makes. And then when the shepherds burst in to come to see Jesus, Mary is there ready to greet them in her ugly Christmas sweater with a tray of Christmas cookies. Or maybe not. What we often forget, though, or at least what we ignore, is that Mary was not perfect. She was not some superstar. Despite sometimes being called the Mother of God, she was a regular girl from Nazareth. And she had fears just like the rest of us do. So let's back up here. At the time this story takes place, Nazareth probably had around 1,000 people. And at this particular moment, Mary's family and Joseph's family had arranged for them to get married. But Mary had no say in this. She knew that's what was expected of her, but nobody asked her if she wanted to marry Joseph. She probably just went along with it because she knew that was the custom. But maybe she wondered why Joseph picked her. Well, later, of course, something else would happen to her. Something else that she had no say over. Something else that made her wonder why she was the one picked. She would become pregnant. So imagine Mary as this young teenage girl. Today, you could think of her as a middle school student. She's experiencing changes to her body with puberty. And now she's about to get married to a guy that she may or may not have met before. Then, as if that wasn't enough, she is met by an angel who says, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Or, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou amongst women." Christians today say these words in a prayer as if the words would make Mary smile. But when Gabriel said these words, they terrified her. Or as the text tamely puts it, "But she was much perplexed by these words, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be." Right, Mary is not pausing here to ponder the implications of what this might mean. Instead, she is freaking out. why in the world would this be happening to her? Well, of course, the angel explains that she's found favor with God, that she'll bear a son. She'll name him Jesus, and he will be called Son of the Most High. That's a lot to take in. As if it wasn't weird enough to have an angel tell her she will be pregnant, now she's told that her child is going to be Son of the Most High God. I can understand why Mary found this hard to believe. Plus, she had not been praying for something like this to happen, like some other women did. All right, think about some of the other famous women in the Old Testament. Think about Sarah, who thought she was too old to have a baby. Think about Rachel, who, although she was the favorite wife of Jacob, was not able to give him children, at least not right away. Or think about Hannah, another barren woman, who wanted a child so desperately that she promised to give him to God when he was born. Mary knew the stories of these women, but she was not like them. She was not longing to have a baby like they did. Instead, the angel just dropped this bombshell on her. Like her marriage to Joseph, Mary had no say in what was happening here. If Mary had wanted a baby, then maybe she would have considered this an answer to her prayer. But Mary was just trying to figure out her new role as wife. She didn't think she would have to figure out her role as mother so soon. That's why she asked the angel, "Why me?" Or, again, as the text tamely puts it, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" Well, the angel explains that this is God's doing, but I'm not so sure that was much comfort to Mary. All right, imagine yourself in Mary's place. Not necessarily as a teenage girl who's going to be pregnant, but just in any situation where you have asked, "Why me?" Typically, when we ask that, it's when something bad has happened to us. Like, why did I come down with COVID? Why did I lose my job? Why do I have anxiety and depression? Sometimes we look around and we see other people who seem to be doing far better than we are. And so we wonder why all this horrible stuff has happened to us. We think that for some reason, since we're good people, that we should be exempt from the suffering in life. But of course, that's not how it works. Maybe Mary felt the same way. She saw this pregnancy as an unexpected event that happened to her. She was asking, "Why me?" I mean, any teenage girl would be going through a bunch of emotions if she found out she was pregnant. But then the angel turns it around on her and basically says that God is calling Mary. Well, that doesn't change Mary's question, though, because we can easily ask, "Why me?" to God's call, too. All right, plenty of people in the Bible have asked that question. Think about Moses, who was called by God in the burning bush to go to Pharaoh, but he said he couldn't speak very well. Or think about Jonah, who heard God call him but decided to run the other way, thinking that God wouldn't know where he went. Or think about the prophet Jeremiah, who thought he was too young and too inexperienced for God to call him. Mary probably saw herself more like these people from Scripture than the women who longed for a child. Right? Why was God choosing her? She was just your average girl from Nazareth. There was nothing remarkable about her. There was nothing that should have made God notice her. Except for the fact that she was an average girl. That means this story here isn't just about the angel telling Mary she would be pregnant. Instead, this is Mary's call story. And God called her because she was just a regular girl. Right now, some people might wonder why God chose her instead of some other girl. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that Mary was not perfect. She was not some superstar. She was not the serene plastic figure we pull out once a year and put on our mantle. She was not that smiling woman on a Christmas card. Instead, she was a regular person like the rest of us, full of fears and questions and worries. And yet, she is the one God chose. Which means God chooses people like Mary, people like us, to bring Jesus to others. Even when we're scared and uncertain. No matter how unqualified or terrified we think we are, God can still do amazing things through us. Because, as the angel said, nothing will be impossible for God. And notice one more thing here. Mary starts off with, how can this be? But ends with, let it be with me according to your word. Now, how does that shift happen? Does she somehow turn off her fears and worries like a light switch? No, of course not. Instead, she hears that God is working in the life of her relative Elizabeth, too. Elizabeth is also pregnant. That means that Mary does not have to travel this journey alone. She has the support she needs in Elizabeth. And today, you do not have to go through this journey alone either. Since the beginning of this pandemic, we've heard the line, we're all in this together. We are not alone in our suffering. But we are also not alone in our call by God either. God was calling Mary, and God was calling Elizabeth too. This life of faith is not a solo enterprise. It's something that all of us do together. And even if we feel inadequate or unprepared, even if we're full of doubt and uncertainty, God is still with us. That's the beauty of this story. You don't have to be a superstar in faith to share Jesus with others. Instead, you simply see that nothing is impossible with God. And so, like Mary, we say, let it be with us according to your word. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. In the name of the one born of Mary, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.